This is an ABC podcast.
This is Neat and Footy with Sam Wykes and Tinidar Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Ta'alofa lava to all our Samoan brothers and sisters, and welcome everyone to Neat Footy, the best spot for our Pacifica footy news and stories in the rugby league and rugby union worlds. My name is Tinirau Arona, and alongside me each week is my co-e Sammy Wykes. Sammy, geez, it's been a long time.
Feels like it's been ages, my friend. It's a couple of weeks, a couple of public holidays for us to rest and recover. But it was an amazing time off. What'd you get up to in Easter?
Easter, that felt so like it was a long time ago. I did eat a lot of chocolate eggs, spent some good time with the family, went to church with mum and dad, and yeah, it was a good time. And then over our last weekend with Anzac Day happening, a lot of footy that was played. I got to put the boots back on as well.
How's the body?
I was a bit sore over the weekend, and then a bit of coaching with the boys. And yeah, spend some time with the wife. What about yourself? Actually, happy birthday for yesterday, mate.
Thanks. Saturday. Anzac Day. Saturday. It was on Anzac Day. Friday. Lot has happened in the 2 weeks, but thank you. Yep, 37 years old. I'm like a fine wine, they say. I'm getting better with age. I don't think so, but there was a lot of footy that happened over the last 2 weeks, but we'll get into, you know, what's recently just happened over the weekend. Super Rugby, Moana Pacifica versus the Fijian Drua, the clash of the Pacific that happened. NRL round 8, I believe it is. Round 8.
Yes. And we have round 9 coming up. Magic round this weekend.
It is too. So that's a big one in the NRL calendar. We also have Shelley Long to preview the Women's Origin
game one,
which this will kick
Thursday
off
Thursday night.
Yep. That will kick off Magic round 8.
It kicks off Magic round in Brisbane. They'll play Thursday night, and then the NRL games Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So
perfect.
Huge game.
Perfect.
Game one.
And who do we have on as our guest today?
Today we have a Roosters NRLW player who won the premiership last year, and she was only 19 years old. Her name is Tavana Papali'i.
Yeah, looking forward to that chat. She's a young superstar, and hopefully we get to see her on Thursday because she'll be representing the Maroons in this week's game.
She's been named in the Queensland squad, and she also represented the Fetu Samoa last year in the Pacific Champs. So looking forward to this chat with Tavana.
Moment of the week.
All right, T, our moment of the week, I thought, considering it was
your birthday.
Oh, that was a good moment. I'll tell you right
Seen
now.
Some good video clips of you dancing on social media.
That was ages ago, bro.
That was a great moment.
His knees are still young.
Pointing in the eye, pointing in the sky.
When you can't dance, that's all you do. You just point the fingers to the sky, shake the hips, and get back to holding up the wall. But anyway, no, that wasn't my moment of the week. It was actually with Moana Pacifica and the Fijian Drua playing the clash of the Pacific. Those two teams went toe to toe, but it's always at the end of the game for me when they come together. And this man here, Artie Savia, I don't think I've really seen someone so influential, not just with his own team, but the respect and influence that he has on the Fijian Drua boys as well. That there was just moments in that game where they wanted to go hard at Artie, but you know, it's almost like, hey, I'll help you up as well, because that's how much they love that person. And just what he says at the end of the game for them coming together and the Fijians singing their hymn, I thought it was outstanding.
What a moment. And I believe the Moana Pacifica sang a hymn straight after.
Yeah, they sang the Tongan hymn straight after. Yeah, so I think just as much as they went toe-to-toe with each other out there, they were just able to share beautiful moments, arm in arm, out in the middle of the field. And, just see Artie Savia just, speak so beautifully what it means to represent the Pacific.
Yeah, I've seen on social media too, he done the rounds and said hello to all the fans, but he also got gifted a kava bowl.
It did.
Done the two claps and took the cover. And I reckon, you know, just that leader that Artie is, the influence that he has, not only on, you mentioned his team, but also the drawer, but all Pacific Islander rugby union and rugby league players. He, you know, the way that he holds himself, he's a great leader in our game.
Yeah, and it was actually a special moment for the Savia family as well with Julian, his brother, his older brother. He played his 300th first-class game, but it was the first time those two got to play with each other as well in one of Pacifica colours. So that was special for them. Now they can tick off the Hurricanes, All Blacks, and now Moana Pacifica.
Kia rana, ko ngā takotoro toku ingoa, and you're listening to Nation Footy.
Footy results and news, Sammy. I'll start with rugby league. Now, I thought I'd give a bit of a ladder update in the NRL. We've just completed 8 rounds of footy. Now, geez, what a tight competition. There's not one year that I can think of that's been this close. I'll give you a good example of why. The 16th place team, the Parramatta Eels, they're on 6 points. And on 7th, so you go all the way up to 7th place where the Sharks are on 8 points. So in between from 7th to 6th, there's only 2 points separating the two to, them teams.
So what you're telling me here is Penrith is still a chance then, because they're sitting last.
Penrith are last, outright last on 4 points. There's no way in the world at the start of the year.
No way.
You would have predicted that the four-peat champions would be last on their own with 4 points, with the only one win against the Roosters a couple weeks ago. But it goes to show, you know, in this competition, a couple good weeks, you could shoot up the ladder, but opposite where a couple bad rounds, you're heading towards the
bottom. We've seen
that
across the board, haven't we? Melbourne have had their little hiccup against, the Dragons. The Broncos have had their hiccup as well. The Warriors, so every team seems like it's not, you know, it's not cemented. So if you're off just a little bit, you could be losing that game.
Well, it goes to prove that any team on the day can win. You know, you look at the Dolphins, they beat the Storm a couple of weeks ago by 20 points as well. Then they go and lose to the Raiders the next week. The Broncos lose to the Warriors. Then they go and beat the undefeated Bulldogs 42-18, which I'll cover shortly. And the Roosters, they lose to the Panthers, giving Panthers their first win. Then they go on and beat the Dragons 46-18.
What a competition, man. I thought I wouldn't say this, but what a competition at the moment.
Bulldogs still outright first with 14 points, and second, third, and fourth, you have the Storm, Raiders, and Warriors all on 12 points. So very close indeed in the NRL ladder. Now, over the last couple of weeks, I've kept my eye on a couple of teams. Now, I thought the Raiders, geez, they had a couple good games where they beat the Titans 30-20 in round 7. And just on the weekend, they were down to the Dolphins at halftime where Izzy Katoa, geez, he carved up against the Raiders in that first half. But then they come back and ended up beating the Dolphins 40-28. So they are at third place, and the Warriors was the other team sitting at fourth place. They beat the Broncos 2 weeks ago, 20-18, and then they beat the Knights on the weekend, 26-16 in Christchurch. The two players that have really stood out for me this last couple of weeks, I'll start with Tyrell May. Now, his performance yesterday against the Sharks, he played 85 minutes in the middle. He made 28 carries. He had 28 carries for over 200 metres and had 41 tackles with no misses. Like, that's a forward in the middle, new to the club, and really, you know, putting his foot forward for hopefully this Blues jersey in the State of Origin series.
He has to be there. Like, do you reckon that's planned, bro? Like, in terms of him staying on that whole time? Because middles, on average, how many minutes would they play?
Those top ones, you'd try and get out 60 minutes.
60?
You know, you'd have 2 30-minute stints where they get a good rest. And I think, you know, leading towards my next player, Payne Huss, they've done that. And that 60 minutes or that less, because he's not having to play 80-plus minutes, his 60 or 65 minutes on the field is damaging for the Brisbane Broncos. Now, you look at the last 2 weeks, the Warriors, he runs for 219 metres, over 100 post-contact metres. And then the very next week against the Bulldogs, 261 metres for another over 100 post-contact metres. Two back-to-back games. wouldn't surprise me seeing these two.
Yeah, I was going to say, were they paired, do you think, for Origin? Like, that'll be a great pairing, surely.
Well, you got those two plus Mitch Barnett. Imagine those three. And then you've got the likes of Haumole Olakau'atu. Who else do we have there? We'll worry about it later.
Oh, but mate, they're gonna eat that middle up.
Speaking
Absolutely.
Of the Payne Huss and the Broncos, man, they that game against the Bulldogs, they had it won in the first half, 34-0. They won. They had scored 6 tries in the first half. One in the very first minutes of the game by Cook Islander back rower Xavier Willison.
And Haas will play it 3 metres out. Early stages, Brisbane right on the attack after the Bulldogs' error. Reynolds inside ball, broken tackle from Willison. Willison scores 90 seconds in.
And their little general, Adam Reynolds, just the way that he kicked the Bulldogs team to death. And then you had the big man, Payne Haas, just running amok in the middle. Also, the Palawan, Gihamat Shibasaki, also scored another try down that left edge. The Broncos look to find some more form this year, and you know, it wouldn't surprise me if we see them playing in the big one at the end of the year. But I think, Sammy, over the last couple of weeks, there's been some big talk around the bunker, the head highs that are happening in the game, and you know, some of these head highs that have been reported a few plays later, where the ref has to call the game, stop the game, and then, you know, that team penalty, that player gets sent off for 10. I'm just, it's starting to concern me the way that it looks for our audience. What are your thoughts?
It should, because rugby union was going down that path for ages. So, like, it slows the game down. Like, going back 4 or 5 phases, especially if there was a try that happened and you're going to bring it all the way back, for the audience, it is frustrating to know what's going on. So now this year, the reason why I feel like Super Rugby Pacific is it's quality at the moment, because now they've told the bunker, or we call it the TMO, to stay out of it and just rule on things like if it's a try, no try, forward pass leading into a try. And the refs now, if there was a foul play, it will get picked up after the game or just get put on report and we move on. Like, there's no one's getting sent off, and then they'll either get their suspension, you know, for the weeks ahead. Yep. So it just allowed the game to flow. And as a result, man, we're like, there's 2 or 3 penalties less per game now because of it. And that means teams aren't actually taking penalty shots as a result anymore. The game's quicker. So I just feel like rugby league, you've got a great product. It is fast. You can deal with it after. There's plenty of ways. I think the fans will be happy and they go, oh, this is why he's missing this week. It's because in this game, this was the incident. So I wouldn't go down that path of just stopping everything.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that is sending the players off for 10 minutes actually making a difference? Because it seems like over the last couple of weeks, it's just been happening each game where the players aren't, you know, it's not making probably the impact that the refs or the officials probably thought it would have. The ones that do upset me are the ones that are accidental. You know, where the player with the ball is falling and those players are already, you know, launching to make the tackle and unfortunately can't change the target area, and then, you know, the contacts are too high. So
it's a contact sport at the end of the day. Accidents are going to happen. If you go looking for it, you'll definitely find it if you want to penalise it. But some things you just got to let go and move on.
But we have a big weekend in rugby league where the Magic Round is played in Brisbane. Unfortunately, I won't be here this weekend, Sammy.
Oh, Will Hopuate
will be covering the games this Friday morning. And remember, you can hear every NRL game live on ABC Radio Australia. Now, in the Queensland Cup, the PNG Hunters, they will play the Burleigh Bears in Port Moresby this weekend. And in Jersey Flegg, New South Wales Jersey Flegg, the Cavite Silktails will play the Roosters in Sydney this weekend. Plenty of rugby league. I still don't know who's going to win the comp, but it is good competition. Let's head over to rugby union.
Thank you, my friend. Yep, rugby league, it just doesn't sleep. There's so much news that happens both on and off the field. Absolutely loving it, T, and thanks so much for all your news and knowledge there. But let's get to rugby union. We're round 11 of Super Rugby Pacific, finished up on the weekend, and the main game for our Nisian footy listeners and, of course, from across the Pacific was the battle between Moana Pacifica and the Fijian Drua, and a lot of them were calling it the Carver Bowl. This is what they were playing for, the Carver Bowl. And Moana Pacific, we saw Artie Savia. He had the sip out of the Carver Bowl.
They should have had a Carver Bowl trophy.
They should do, man. I think that's the next stage for next year. to make it a yearly thing. Absolutely. And so there was plenty of hype around this game. There was a decent crowd as well. I think it was Moana Pacifica's biggest home crowd. So for two teams, I guess Moana is doing better than last year, but for the draw coming last and Moana Pacifica before this game will come in second last, it was great to see that there was hype in this game. And one of my favorite bits of the game, watching it, outside of, you know, the on-field stuff, the music blaring around the stadium.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's just they the jams. They had the
speakers on and playing the local music.
Local music. Especially when they played George Vekoso Fiji, like, and they played Sweet Darling. And it just, the camera panned around the field and everyone, Fiji and Samoans, Tongans, Cook Islanders, they were all singing. They just all knew the words. And I was like, that's special. That's what it's about. And that's what you don't get at some of the other games. So yep. I just thought that was a cool moment to see there. And for these two sides, they've played each other five times now, and with the draw winning four out of the last five games, and out of the last four times they've met, they've been very close games with an average winning margin favouring the draw with, I think, 3.3 points. So it's been tight, except in this game, different story. Moana Pacifica won comfortably 34-15, and it could have been more if Garden Bashup and William Havili got their conversions. I think they missed four between them, so it could have been a little bit higher. The game itself, it was a pretty scrappy affair, actually. A lot of handling errors from both teams, but what I did like, the fact there was some, you know the old saying, rocks or diamonds?
Rocks or diamonds.
Rocks or diamonds. That's what I was referred to in my playing career. I was either rocks or I was diamonds, never consistent. But the diamond moments in this one, even though it was a bit scrappy, like there were some absolute diamond moments. Moana Pacifica number eight, Semisi Tupou Tailoa, he was doing the run it straight challenge, which happened over the weekend as well. Holy, that was, mate, I want to see like some of those hits, just sickening.
Are you talking about this one or the run it straight one?
Oh, both. The one that happened in Campbelltown, there was that. So they've the boys got an inspiration from this run it straight challenge from Semisi Tupou Tailoa. He did that coming off the back of a kick return from a line dropout, and he locks eyes with Fijian drawer lock Nasila Sila. Like, it was like a 50-meter run-up, it looked like, and he's come, boom, impact. I thought Semisi won the battle in terms because he bounced back, but the force that came through Nasila Sila as well, he actually put Semisi to the floor.
So who went back?
It was almost like, so even like Nasila Sila, the drawer lock, he went back as well, even though Semisi went forward, but then end up falling back as well and like onto the ground and getting up and going again. So to me, it was a tie. So I thought, like, they're the moments that everyone probably would have paid for to see, just two big units going at each other.
I thought
the crowd,
went off,
and even the commentators were just like going, "Oh my goodness!" Like that's what it's about, the feeling between these two.
Where was the target area of the defender?
But he's actually stayed up high.
He come up high.
So like hit right on the ball. There's no way I'm going low in front on like that. No way. I'm getting knocked out for sure. So I thought that was the right target area on that one, but did well not to slip up and hit the head. And I thought the other one, like some other diamond moments, Danny Tawala's try for the first try of the game, 7 or 8 passes where players were staying alive, getting second touches, and backed up on the inside, his scores. Adi Savir's disallowed try. Nothing.
That was a diamond moment.
You saw the chip and chase.
Yep.
Regather. Spewing that they had to come back for that knock on because it was in a couple of phases of that try. So they had to look at that. But that was fantastic from that man there. And hooker Tevita Ikanevere, when he came off the bench for the draw, immediate impact, he busted through to score a try from about 30 metres out. But where the game was won for Moana, I believe, it was their defence and their ability to get line speed from the outside. The draw like to play with width, get into those 15-metre channels and try and play down that side. But I thought Moana did a really good job not allowing them to get into those areas.
Getting up, cutting it off.
Cutting it off straight away with line speed, and they were making their first up tackles. And even when they didn't have numbers to be able to get that line speed, they drifted nicely, used the sideline. So I didn't feel like they were ever panicking.
How's the Moana looking to make the finals?
So the good thing about Moana, even though they were second last, it's a tight competition, just like rugby league. They're now in 8th spot. So
top six go through.
Top six will go through, but they do have a tough run home. So even though they will be in New Zealand, there's some tough games ahead for them, and it'll be interesting to see. Like, there's a, I think there's what, maybe four or five games to go, and we'll see how that one plays out for that one. But that's all we had for our Super Rugby Pacific. And actually, I should mention as well, Tongan hooker Samsoni Taukeaho for the Chiefs played his 100th game, and he also scored a try in his milestone game for his 100th game. And just to round out the ladder, I think the top four, we'll just say the top four now, it's starting to stay consistent. We have the Chiefs on top, the Crusaders second, the Brumbies in third spot, even though they lost on the weekend against the Blues. And the Reds are in against the Hurricanes, and the Reds beat the Blues, and they sit in fourth. So those four teams are staying consistent at the moment and will probably be the favourites in the pointy end of the season, T. But that's our Super Rugby Pacific all wrapped up right there for round 11.
Beautiful. Let's head over to Shelley Long with the long story short to cover all things NRLW. And we've also got the State of Origin Game 1 win the Women's League this weekend. Let's go, Shelley.
Hey, guys. It's Ruben Porter here, and you're listening to Nijan Footy.
The long story short with Shelley Long.
Welcome back to our PNG Orchid star and NRLW player, Shelley Long. Shelley, we haven't seen you since before Easter. How was your Easter weekend and what's been happening since then?
A few chocolates.
Actually, guys, no Easter bunny eggs, no nothing on the Easter. Cut them out, but I had a great time. Just relaxing, really, and honestly, that's all I did.
Beautiful.
Great time, no chocolate on Easter. That doesn't sound like a great time.
Well, but hey, you do. Currently going through her knee.
Of course, of course.
How's the knee?
The professionalism, yes.
It's going really well. I actually had camp on the weekend in Tully. So I don't know if you guys know Tully, but it is the rainiest town in Queensland, and it didn't rain. So that was
great weekend then, yes.
It was a great weekend. I walked Mount Tyson, which is the big mountain at the back of Tully, and it's about a 6K hike up terrain, so up the rainforest full of leeches and mozzies. But, you know, it's about team bonding, so that was enjoyable.
Well, it's good to know the knee.
Oh, the knee would have, yeah. Held up nicely?
The knee's, holding up nicely.
Yeah, it's going really good. I did testing too this morning. So the difference is dropping down. We're adding in a bit of change of direction now, adding some more running in. So I'm finally feeling like we're over that speed bump and we're progressing well.
Well, that's great news, Shelley. Let's get straight into it. We'll start with the big game this week on Thursday, where New South Wales women's team will be taking on the Queensland women's team. How exciting is it to have the New South Wales versus Queensland State of Origin back already?
Oh, it's very exciting. And I think it's a great way to start off the weekend with round also happening. And I think it will highlight how well and of a growth the women's game has had these last couple of
years. When you think about these two teams, what comes to your mind first? You know, who's got the stronger squad? You know, who do you think is going to win and how and why?
Oh, you're putting me on the spot here, guys. <It's>, you know, I'm a Queenslander, so I'm always going to say Queensland. I think last year I did that as well.
Yeah.
But, you know, it'll be a great game. New South Wales has a lot of experienced players. They aren't debuting too many players this year. However, Queensland has gone with a lot of youth, which I think is a great thing to see as well. I think these players that have been added to the squad have showed the potential in the NRLW campaign, and I think it will really add that extra bit of flavour to what Queensland really brings on the week on Thursday.
Yeah, nice. And with some of our Nijan players, who are we looking out for, as well as Tiana Penatani in the six jersey?
She's six.
Yeah, apparently she's in the halves.
Have you just leaked that? Or
no, it was on the what do you call it, Instagram page.
Was it?
Yeah.
One, so the starting 17 has been named.
Did you see that as well, that she's in the halves?
is playing in the halves from what they've
announced.
Said.
Yeah.
Yes. And it is actual common knowledge. So
T's all over it, isn't he?
Just making sure that Sammy, the number one news reporter here.
I hate when you do that too, because I see it and I liked it, and I've even talked to other people about it. But when you go, are you sure? It creates that little bit of doubt in my head. I was like, oh, damn it, what have I got wrong here? But anyway, who are you looking forward to, and how do you think she's going to go at six in this game?
Oh, I think it'll be a great game. She's proven, you know, time after time that she can be anywhere in that backline squad, and she does have that great potential as a half, as a number six. But, you know, there's a lot of other players there that also are representing their Pacifica heritage in Sienna Lofipo, Destiny Brill, Tavana Papali'i, all Samoan players that are representing the Queensland Maroons. And as well as that, you've got Samaima Talfa, Yasmin Clydesdale, and Sarah Togatuki in that New South Wales team. So a lot of Pacific flavour in there, which is awesome to see, and really great to be able to see that reflect in our game as well.
We've also got a Queensland squad member joining us very shortly in Tavana Papali'i. Can you tell us a little bit about her?
Yeah, she's a great up-and-coming player. For Queensland, she was at the Sydney Roosters last year. She was in the grand final as well, earned herself a grand final ring, which not too many can say they've earned at just as a 19-year-old as well within the game. So super exciting talent to see, and I think she'll bring a lot of potential coming into that interchange.
Awesome. Is there any other news in rugby league before we head over to rugby union?
I will say, guys, there is this game coming up on Thursday, but there are also two others after that. Now we've got a three-game series, so make sure you keep an eye out on those two other games coming up.
Sweet as. Well, perfect. We'll see how that one unfolds on Thursday, but Rugby Union, test match this week in Fiji.
Yeah, so the Wallaroos announced their 40-player squad just recently. A lot of debutants actually to be capped in this extended squad, which will be exciting to see, you know, how the squad goes ahead of their game on the weekend. So this Saturday they verse Fijiana over in Suva for a double header, which is super exciting to see our girls back in the green and gold uniforms as well.
Yeah, pretty excited to see the team list for both those squads, and it'll be a massive day in Suva with the Drua playing against the Reds beforehand, and obviously the big one with that test match. I believe it's the first time the Wallaroos has ever played in Fiji. So that's a history-making event.
To all our Fijian listeners, go into the game. Make sure you stick around after the men's game and support the Fijiana Drua and also the Jillaroos. Wallaroos.
The Wallaroos.
Wallaroos. And also the Wallaroos.
Yes. Yes. Like,
Wallabies, Jillaroos, or Kangaroos.
Yeah, just support everyone. It's going to be a great day out there. Hopefully the rain holds off. But Shelley, anything else for us before we go?
No, oh, you know what, guys? I have to do a couple of shout-outs for that Wallaroos squad. We've talked about this player quite a bit in the Super W competition, Pohiva. She has earned herself
the front rower.
Position in that top 40 squad. So my fingers are crossed for her. I think she's had an exceptional Super W campaign. And I think that she's going to add a lot of depth to that front row for the Wallaroos squad, which is something that I feel like the last couple of years has really been a struggle for them. So I'm excited to see her out there. Hopefully she gets named. And, you know, there's a lot of other Pacifica Island players in this Wallaroos squad, which again shows how incredible we are and the importance of having us players in the game and being able to see them as well.
Well said, and I didn't see Shalom Sawaso in there, so obviously they've left her out. She's gone to rugby league, unless I'm wrong there, but spewing, I didn't get to see her name.
No, you know what? I was very surprised by that one too myself. But I guess we've seen it kind of in talks about rugby union players who are wanting to put their hand up for the World Cup, not being able to come over to the NRLW competition. So I think it looks like she might have chosen which one she wanted to go down the path of. But you know what? I think she has a lot of talent, and I think she's definitely, when the time's right for her and she chooses to go down the Wallaroos path, I think she'll fit in perfectly for that jersey.
Not wrong at all. Well, Shelley, as always, we appreciate your time. Thank you so much, and hopefully we'll catch you again next week with New South Wales winning that game 1. Perfect.
Thanks, Shelley.
Thanks, Shelley.
Bula, my name is Vani Are. You're listening to Nijan Puri.
All right, T, joining us today on Nijan Footy is one of the young superstars in the NRLW. She made her debut for the Roosters last year at the age of 19, also won an NRLW premiership. She also represented Fetu Samoa and was player of the match against Tonga in their 30-16 win. And she joins us right now. Tavana Papali, thank you so much for joining us on Nijan Footy.
Thank you for having me.
We'll start off with your Samoan culture. How much do you know about your Samoan side and your villages, where your family's from?
To be honest, I'm kind of plastic. Don't judge me for it, guys. Now, I know enough where, you know, I'm happy to put my last name out there and always, you know, open to learning more. And I think that's what I was super grateful for PAC Champs last year. I think it broadened that up and opened my eyes to that. I'm super close with my dad, even though he gets on my nerves sometimes. But keeps me in check about making sure I know what I'm talking about, making sure I'm respectful, staying humble and knowing the basics about where I'm from.
I'm sure you would have learned a lot about your, you know, Samoa and your culture through representing the Fetu Samoa, which we'll touch on shortly. But we've got a rule here on Nijan Footy where
we're not, glad you brought it up.
Yeah, we're not allowed to say that we're plastic, because we all have, whether it's Samoa, Tonga or Cook Island blood running through our veins. That is just how it is. So we are not plastic. You're not plastic. You are Samoan. And what we do have in common, actually, is we bleed red, white and blue, the lovely Roosters colours. So I love having chats to my fellow Roosters. What do we call each other?
Representatives.
Family
there,
members.
Yeah, there you go.
What was your upbringing like? Was Samoa a big part of your upbringing?
Well, yeah, my dad, he moved to from Samoa to Australia when he was quite young, and he met my mum, which is my Irish side. And my mum, they kind of like swapped cultures while trying to teach each other's ways and cultures. So I was born in Wollongong, and then I grew up in Claymore, which is like around Campbelltown.
Campbelltown, yep.
And then I think that's kind of where everything started. There was obviously a lot of like Polynesian culture around that area. Once I then moved to Queensland, I think that's when I kind of not drifted. I've always been very like passionate and open about my culture and proud of it. But I think that's kind of when the shift in, I guess, diversity changed, just because Queensland didn't have a lot of Polynesian communities like coming from Claymore, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. Yeah.
Nice. And when you say swap cultures, Irish and Samoan, have you got an example there for us of what that I'm intrigued on how that crossed over.
When my dad obviously met my mum, he was very fresh, didn't know what he was really talking about, somehow swooned her, I'd say. but yeah, in the way of him trying to learn English, she then swapped and learned how to speak Samoan. So my mum, who's a white lady, could then fluently speak Samoan.
No way. So she's fluent?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So then, you know, when my parents did split, it still kept that close connection, because my mum was also made sure we stayed on top of knowing our culture, and she also helped play a big part in pushing that forward, not just my dad, but yeah.
Oh, good. And are you a part of a big family? Do you have many siblings?
I've only got 2 siblings. So I've got an older brother and a younger sister, but plenty of cousins from dad's side, and my mum's side also has quite a lot of cousins involved, yeah.
Your siblings play footy as well?
My younger sister does, but my brother's on the MMA side of things.
Ooh.
Okay, as in like just as a enjoys fighting, or like the island away on the street, or is actually trying to go far with it?
Don't want to incriminate. No. No, he's it's something. He's more on that extreme sport kind of side. Like, he loves his motorbikes, his boxing, his MMA. So he's kind of trained and done that for a while. But my younger sister, she's very into footy, and she's trying to make teams. So eventually one day we can play together, maybe against each other.
And yourself, was Did you always play footy, or was there any other sports that you played?
I started in track and field. I wasn't a big fan of it at all. My mum and dad forced me to do it. But the first sport I actually played was soccer. I played like 1 year of soccer, but I was really bad. Really, really bad. So I didn't play that again. And then I kind of just stuck to your girly, like cheer and dance and stuff like that. And then when I was 12 was when I was like watching my brother play at Nerang Roosters with like Reese Walsh and, you know, all those other boys. And I was like, I want to try that. It looks fun. But my dad's very traditional. And he was like, no, you're not doing that. You're not playing that. So it took a while for me to convince him to let me play.
Oh, so from that under 12s, how old would you have been?
I think I was like 11 turning 12 when I first played league.
Okay, so similar age group. And then was it that moment straight after that you asked your dad, can I play, or how did that eventuate?
The first person I asked was my mum. She was, everything was still pretty new. So I still had to play with the boys back then. But in my mind, I wasn't really clicking that it wasn't a girl thing to do. Like I was kind of just like, oh, it's sport. I'll play a sport kind of thing. And my mum was all for it. She didn't really mind. Her family's big on footy. So she was kind of like, I don't care what you do, but if you're going to do it, you're doing the whole season. Like you're not pulling out if you don't like it kind of thing. And then she said, but you're going to have to ask your dad. And I was just sitting there thinking, there's no way I'm asking this. He's going to say no. He already gets mad at me when I don't want to go and do track. I couldn't imagine him like saying yes to me playing footy. And so we had a big dinner and I told my nan, she's a big footy head. I've got a very good connection with my nan. And my nan sat down my dad and told him, not asked him, she told him that I'm going to play footy. From then on, he kind of just listened and now I play footy.
And I bet that he not regrets the thoughts of even you not playing now, but how proud is he as a father to see your journey so far in rugby league?
Oh, he loves it. He's still stubborn in his ways and he's a bit antisocial. So most of the games he'll watch from home on the TV. But yeah, he's really proud. And I think last year when I got to represent Fetu Samoa, you know, and go over to Auckland and see some of my family that I haven't seen in like a really long time, I think that was a big eye opener for him, and he's super proud.
What's he like as someone watching the game? Like, is he like that? We've had a few people on here, Will Hopuate and Lehi Hopuate, talk about John Hopuate watching the game and giving that, I guess, fatherly advice and some other instance where, you know, the staunch Islander man behind the goalposts. What's your dad like?
That's my dad. If it's okay. Sunny or rainy, he'll stand with an umbrella in the furthest corner there.
Okay.
And he doesn't say a word. He'll have people come up to him and be like, oh, is that your daughter? And he'll be like, no. Then he keeps watching the game and he'll give me a mouthful in the car if something's gone wrong in his eyes.
So that car ride home, just before T asks another question here, is that, are you in the front seat or the back seat if you haven't had a good game?
Back seat.
On the bus.
On the bus. If it's the van, go right to the back.
With my mates if I have to. I'm avoiding it. Yeah, no, he's pretty snappy. Like, and then I'll try to be like, oh, but this happened because of this. And he goes, no, Tavana. Oh, my gosh. You can't get through to him, so.
Moving on to your NRLW debut and, you know, representing the red, white and blue, the Sydney Roosters, what was that experience like?
It was pretty cool. I had done my ACL in 2023. So, you know, to come back a year later and my second game back from my injury, it was pretty cool to debut. I don't know. It was obviously a big moment for me, but it also felt very natural. Like I wasn't too in a frenzy about it. Like it was just something like, oh, this is what I want to do. It's another thing I can kind of tick off. But yeah, it was still super exciting. And I love with footy that when I'm playing those big games and, you know, my debuts and rep teams, it brings my family together. So I think that's the moment I cherish the most out of it.
You just mentioned your ACL injury and yeah, we both know how long and hard and emotional that journey can be going through that rehab. And yeah, were there any lessons or tough times during your rehab to find yourself back on the NRLW stage?
The hardest part was the day I did it, because it was at a Queensland schoolgirls tournament and it was my 18th birthday the day I did it. But it was 4 days out from my first under-19s origin, And then it was like 2 weeks out from the 2023 NRLW season and then a month out from like my second year of Aussie Schoolgirls. So I think once I've realized I had hurt myself and I had never been injured before, especially not like that, I was kind of like, it hit pretty hard. And I think I just gave myself that day and probably the day after to really like sit in it and process the fact that I was going to not be playing sport for 9 to 12 months. But I think after that, that's when I kind of just flipped and I was like, let's just get the ball rolling, get the surgery done. And, you know, I don't want to take it as a break because essentially once the surgery is done and I'm good to start rehab, I've just got to work that extra bit harder to get back. So I don't know. I think it was good to be around my family. They helped push me. Times were pretty boring. Couldn't swim for a while. That one was pretty bad. But yeah, other than that, I don't think it was too bad. I tried to be super honest with myself about the process and how it was going to be, especially hearing from others that had done their ACL. And that's when I was just like, no, I don't want to let myself sit and be sad and see anything as a setback. It's just a bit of a redirection for the moment.
No, tell me, none of your family members suggested the Samoan massage or whatever as healing, the banana leaves or anything like that to get you back faster?
My dad did. My dad was pretty certain I'd be fine. And then he was telling me, nah, she heard a click, she's done her ACL. And I'm sitting here like, you need to just shut up. Like, I don't really hear that right now. And he's like, I'm telling you, Tavana, you're out. You're out for 9 to 12 months. So he had no shame in kind of just putting it how it was. And then he was like, oh, I think he'll be fine. And then, yep, then surgery comes and he's like, oh, you're not okay, eh? That must have hurt.
Oh man, he sounds like all the other uncles out there. How good! But you, now you've won a premiership with the Roosters. Game day, you come. It's a massive stage. There's some stars on the other side. I think Tiana Panattoni was playing for the Sharkies as well. You know, what was it like going into that game and winning and celebrating with your family members as well as your teammates?
I think that was the first game in a while where I felt a bit nervous, just because I've clearly never been or played in an NRLW grand final before, but I also felt super comfortable going into it as well. I felt well prepared, and not just as an individual, but as a team. I think that's probably what helped, like being around a lot of those girls like Izzy and, you know, Liv Koenig and stuff. They've been in those scenarios before and they've prepared for them. So having those girls with that level of professionalism made it super easy to kind of just glide into that, I guess. The moment we won, though, that was pretty cool. Yeah, and I got to rub in my brother's face that I have a ring. So, but yeah, no, it was cool. And like I said, once again, that was a big moment. So my dad ditched the TV screen and he came out to watch in person in Sydney. He was proud of that moment too. He kept his glasses on because he didn't want to act like he was crying.
No umbrella this time for that game in the stadium? No. I don't think they're allowed.
No umbrella. He just stood at the very back of where my whole family was sitting and was like, good job.
Holding the tears.
Holding the tears back.
And then not long after, you represent your nation, the motherland, Samoa. What was that experience like and what did you gain from that whole campaign?
That was probably one of my favourite camps to date, to be honest. You know, you get to be around girls that come from the same culture as you. I think that's something that not a lot of people will understand the feeling of when, you know, you use a collectively banding together to represent a nation. It's something I took a lot of pride in. It was very exciting for me. It was a bit daunting because I am still quite young and I was put in at 5'8", so that was kind of like, well, it's big shoes to fill. Don't want to mess it up or anything. But I think just going into that camp, there was also other young girls like Lindsay Tui and Eva McEwen that made it super easy and natural as well, because it was like, oh, yeah, we're young, but we're clearly here for a reason. We're not only representing ourselves and our families, but the girls next to us. So it was super exciting.
I don't know if you would have remembered seeing me and Sammy on the track side in Fiji watching the game versus Tonga. But
I had my Tongan flag too. By the way, I was going for Tonga.
what I did realize was, like, you could tell that your team was pushing for success, and knowing that you were playing for a World Cup qualifier and even winning the bowl itself. And the other thing I noticed was Frank Pritchard, Cole Stanley, having those people in your staff. Yeah, the meaning it had to that whole campaign. What was it like after when you realized that you just qualified for next year?
It was super sentimental for everyone involved, like staff included. I think there's been so much work behind the scenes that, you know, led us to that moment. So every game we took, obviously, very seriously, and it was do or die for us. Like, you couldn't lose. I think everyone just really felt the pressure. Like, I feel like we had felt the pressure as if we were putting the nation on our back and trying to push us forward somewhere in the world. So I feel like everyone took it to heart and made sure we were all on the same page and collectively thinking alike. Frank Pritchard, I've known for really long from Campbelltown days and stuff. So I've been really close with him and his family growing up. So it was good to see him and a familiar face in the staff as well. But all of them were super helpful. All of them were really open and they're all just super passionate about what they were doing, and seeing them so happy and teary from when us girls were winning those games, I think that was something super special.
Yeah, it was, myself and T, we love big Frankie. You know, he was an idol of ours growing up, you know, from out Sydney's west. Yep. Tommy, his brother, was the schoolyard bully as well. So it was awesome to see what he's achieved in the game. And yeah, to see him celebrate like that, we knew that was something special for him. It really hit in the heart. For your dad, what was it like for him? You know, you putting on that blue jersey and representing that side of fame, but even for your mum who helped with, you know, keeping that connection to culture as well.
Yeah, no, my mum and dad were super proud. For the first game, obviously everyone watched from home, but they went to the local pub and it was set up on the TV and stuff. So my mum and her side of the family and my siblings were all watching there. My dad was quietly watching from his house from the TV. But for the second game in Auckland, my dad flew to Auckland to watch. And that moment was probably super special to me. It was something, it makes me like a bit emotional, but yeah, I got to see and meet people I hadn't met before. I got to see my nan and stuff that I hadn't seen since I was like five, and seeing how proud and loving they were, you know, for their family that is still staying over in Australia while they're in New Zealand. It was something I'll forever cherish, especially seeing my dad. And once again, he kept his sunnies on. And now when I heard him sniffle when he was hugging me and I hear him sniffling, I think that was what hit home, because I could tell he was super proud and he didn't give me any growling. He just kept hugging me and saying, oh, I'm so proud of you. And I'm so glad you could put our name on the big stage like that. So, yeah.
What a special moment.
Love that. Love that.
Now, with the State of Origin game coming up this weekend, game one, you know, you've been caught up into the Queensland camp. What's that campaign and camp been like for yourself so far?
It's very welcoming. Yeah, I'm very young and new to this scene, but all the girls are very welcoming. You know, they've got big names here. So it's been really easy to adjust in the team, and I'm learning a lot, and it doesn't feel, I don't know, like I said about the Roosters girls, I think this group of girls as well, it's also another group that makes it feel very natural. They take away the pressure because they're just so open and honest with you, and they're good at giving that constructive criticism as well as like giving you your raps when you're doing something good. So, yeah, it's been pretty smooth sailing.
And you'd have a few teammates, Roosters teammates in the Blues team. Have you gave some tips to your Queensland teammates?
Is the coach as well, Roosters coach, yeah, for the state of mind? Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't really looked too far into the team. I just know that there's a lot of them. And last year hearing Taryn get peppered at training for winning, yeah. I can see who's going to get bragging rights this year once we go back to Clubland.
Yeah. Oh man! And again, I'm just going to go back to this question, Dad. How was he when you got announced in this Queensland side? And has he got his sunglasses ready for sitting behind the post?
Oh, he's super happy. He just keeps calling me every morning at 5 o'clock to see what I'm up to. Like, I haven't told him I'll be in camp every day. Yeah, no, he's super happy, but I think he's watching this one from home. He doesn't like busy stadiums or being around too many people.
One last question from me. Favourite Samoan food?
I don't know. It's got I like the pork buns. Those are my favourite.
They are the best.
I like the lamb ones.
Tears. It has to be from Tears Takeaway, though. Oh.
Perfect. Well, honestly, I wish we could chat a little bit longer just about your journey, especially about your old man. He seems like a character and the rest of your family. But from all of us here on Nijan Footy, we really appreciate your time. We love the fact that you're a young superstar who shows a lot of humility out there, but absolutely is a weapon on the field. And we wish you nothing but love and all the best for this upcoming game. We're Blues supporters, so we won't give you too much luck, but all the best for the rest of your career as well. Hopefully we get to catch up at some point soon.
Yes, thank you guys very much.
Give me three answers for this one.
Each Monday, we like to end our show with our competitive component of the Nisian show? Footy. Of yeah. Nisian Footy, our game of categories. 3 points up for grabs each week, where one of us will be asking the other, give me three of something. Now,
actually, before we move on, I just realized that you might give me three about the coaches 2 weeks ago. You got me.
2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago, and I've been sitting on this.
Wow. You've got to bring up 2 weeks ago.
What was it around the, like, who's transitioned into a coach? Which are our Pacific Islanders that have played Super Rugby and transitioned into being a head coach? Carmichael, yes. Benji Marshall, even though he is a head coach and played Super Rugby for the Blues, is Māori. I said Pacifica.
Mate, he's part Tahitian.
No, he's not. That'll
you
do
give me. A call. You know, if you listen back to it, I said Benji, knowing that he was Māori, and you just like, you got me.
You got me. Just yeah, like, nah, I was play like, on.
All right, sweet, play on.
We're not the bunker here, points, but I just wanted to.
Points are locked in.
They're locked in. I'm not going to take it from you.
The lesson learnt here is to ask the question and listen to the answer.
But I just wanted to make it be known, okay?
All right. Thank you for bringing up 2 weeks ago. Well, the score is 17-12. The loser at the end of the season will have to shout the other host and their partner a spa day and dinner. So I'm up, Sammy. I will be asking you the three. What's your favorite number out of 6 or 8?
6 or 8?
Yeah.
I'll go 6.
6? All right. Give me 3 NRL teams who have exactly 6 points in the NRL ladder right now.
6 points.
6 points.
Competition points.
On the NRL ladder.
On the NRL. Did we mention
8 rounds?
We mentioned one of them already. Did we?
Did we?
Parramatta?
Were you listening?
Parramatta has to be.
Was Parramatta 6?
Yes.
Or 4?
No, Penrith was 4. So how many did you get for a game for a win?
I don't know.
Points do you get? Do you get 2 or 4 points for a win?
What do you reckon? Well, if I'm saying 6, how would you get 2? Do you get 2 for a loss?
No, because for the bye, do you get 1 for the bye as well? Do you get 2 points for a bye?
Do you get 2 points for a bye?
4 points. Talk to me, bro. Give me something. All right, I'm going to go Para. I'll lock in Para.
Para, 1. You got 1.
Okay, so there's Parramatta.
You were listening.
I was. So at least there's 1 there. Okay, who else would be on 6 points?
After 8 games of NRL.
Who's down the pointy end? I mean, the lower
six
end.
6 points on the NRL ladder.
Oh.
I said there was X amount of teams at the start of the show.
Yeah, you did.
From 6, or from 1 position all the way to the top.
I reckon the Dragons are on 8. Cowboys on 8. The Dolphins?
Dolphins?
Yeah.
You're locking in Dolphins?
I'm locking in Dolphins.
Dolphins 2.
Oh, yes, there's 2. What else did you say at the beginning of the show when you wanted to do a ladder check? What else have we got here? So there's 2, probably running out of time as well, but I'm going to say we got the Dolphins. Who else is it around that area? I'll go the Tigers.
The Tigers, with their win yesterday, put them up to 8.
Oh.
They have won 4 games.
Have they won 4?
Yes, 4 from 4.
Oh, that's outstanding. Four. Okay, what were the other teams? 2 from 3, I'll take that.
Were. So you got the Eels, you got the Dolphins. The other teams were
Dragons?
The Knights.
Oh, Knights.
The Titans
and
the Roosters.
There you have it.
Now, if you said 8, it would have been Rabbitohs, Dragons, Tigers, Sea Eagles and Sharks.
Okay, I probably should have went 8 then for more teams to choose from. But 8, 2 from 3, I'll take that. But that's our time up for Nisian Footy Mondays. Tell your friends all about Nisian Footy, and you can find us wherever you get your podcasts or on the ABC Pacific website. And I will see you on Friday. T, have fun up in Magic Ground.
Ka kite.
This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.